Good evening to everybody, and Brother Joshua had brought up that it was a privilege to have me stand in the pastor's pulpit this evening and bring a message to you from God's Word, and the privilege is mine that God gives me the opportunity to do these things, and I thank you for your prayers in that respect, and the same to Brother Ron, too. As I studied this week and God put on my heart a message to bring to you, and I want to bring you a message tonight called Assailing the Enemy. And so often as we go through our lives as Christians, and too often we don't recognize Satan's part in how he attacks us and how he becomes an obstructionist in our lives, and how we can be used, though we desire to be used mightily of God in doing his work, we need to be ever vigilant that we're cautious of not being used mightily of Satan. And too often we don't recognize this early enough in our activities, in our interactions with our fellow brothers and sisters, or the things that we go about in the world. But so often we think of the enemy and how he attacks us and how he assails us. And by the way, Webster's dictionary, the definition for assail means to attack physically and violently, and we think so often of Satan, how he assails us in our day-to-day lives and our interactions with other people. But this evening I want to look at from God's Word how we can assail him. In other words, how we can fight him. And of course, it's not us that fights him, but the mighty Word of God that we utilize in order to fight Satan. And in particular this evening, what I want to look at is in our prayer. And if I can get you to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 18a this evening, though we'll look at some different scripture. This evening's message primarily comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18a, which is very short in regards to what the lesson revolves around. And again, we'll look at other scripture. Again, Ephesians 6, verse 18, the first portion of that verse says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing this group together this evening. Lord, we thank you for those faithful that are here. We pray, Lord, I pray that you would empower me this evening with your Spirit, as we've read in this verse. And Lord, help me to, according to your word, give a useful message that will help us to assail the enemy. And Lord, how we can protect ourselves and how we threaten him with your word and how we threaten him in prayer. And we pray all these things, Lord, in these next few minutes. Strengthen us, open our hearts to your word, and encourage us in that. Often we don't think of assailing the enemy. You know, in this verse where it says praying always with all prayer, the Greek word translated prayer is prosushi. And, the word is really restricted to the New Testament. And it means specifically prayer to God. But it also takes into account God's power and sufficiency. When we see that word that Paul had used here in verse 18 of chapter 6. Prosushi also, the Greek word, also gives prominence to the devotional side of prayer. In other words, our devotion to prayer, our daily prayer, and how we seek God daily, often daily. I don't know about you, but there are many times throughout the day where I will approach God in prayer, just even in maintaining a conscious contact with God in His part in my day-to-day activities. But again, this word that Paul uses here in Ephesians, the Greek word prosushi, means really to deal also with the devotional side of our prayer. And it's no wonder that Satan feels threatened whenever a believer prays. And this is where we go with what we're talking about, assailing the enemy. Now, and again, Webster's dictionary saying physically and violently to attack. Well, we don't physically attack Satan. And in our prayer, it is the mighty Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that we use in assailing that enemy. It's not the weak, stammering believer that Satan fears, nor is it the wandering, inadequate prayer that we make as believers. Those are not the things that Satan fears in regards to our prayer life. What he really fears is the fact that a child of God is appealing to the Almighty Father, and this is what causes Satan's fear. Some of the things that I want to look at here are the three realms of prayer that we encounter, that I know I encounter as I approach God in prayer. And I think many of us experience, we know that Satan is threatened by our prayer, by the things that we experience as we enter prayer and seeking God in our daily prayers. So, Satan doesn't fear eloquence in prayer. The lofty words and how we put those words together. Those are not the things that he fears. Often our prayers are spasmodic and disjointed, and it's difficult for us to put together anything that seems that God might understand. And of course, we'll look at some scripture. God understands by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Even the groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm paraphrasing there, and we'll look at that particular scripture. But Satan fears the simple fact that a needy child of God is at the mighty throne of God. And when we approach God in prayer, Satan harnesses all of his minions to bar the way to the throne of God. How many of us, with a raise of hand, as we begin to approach God, say in your morning devotions, as we approach God in prayer, I know that's the way that I start my day out. As a matter of fact, most days, most mornings, as soon as I have any conscious thought whatsoever of coming out of sleep, I acknowledge God, just to the point of saying, "Good morning, Lord." I try to start my day off that way. And it comes as habit now. And when I do these things, these are the things that Satan fears. The fact, and he brings all of his minions, all of those things that are at his disposal to bar or to block my direction or my way to the throne of God. The thing is, no demon, no angel prince, no fallen angel can face the Spirit's flaming sword in regards to my approach to God as I approach the throne of God with the power of the Holy Spirit. That which emboldens me, but that also which helps me to approach God in that respect. And when we pray, as I studied this, we enter three realms. And as I studied this, I didn't initially understand that, but as I studied this, and hopefully you'll get the same thing tonight, I recognized that for me in prayer, there is, at any particular time that I pray, there are three different phases before I finally get into what we might call the zone or the sweet spot, where I truly feel that I now have that connection with God where I have nothing blocking me, where Satan has been put aside. And this is how we assail or attack the enemy, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to get him out of the way. How many of you, as you approach God in prayer, do you encounter a multitude of things and find yourself unable to concentrate on what it is truly that you are seeking God in prayer? I'm going to guess almost all of us. This is Satan at work. This is Satan trying to block that access to the throne of God. And he brings the house. He brings everything that he has at his disposal in order to do that. So the first thing in regards to the realms that we enter in prayer to God is is the hidden place. And this is a place where we are alone with God. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean physically alone with God, but where we are able to, that what I brought up where I, at my first conscious thought in the morning, I say, "Good morning, Lord." I am entering that hidden place, acknowledging God's part in my day, the first thing in the day. And so the first place that we want to enter and that we do enter is the hidden place where we're alone with God. It may be a bedroom. I come from a farm background. I used to find early in the mornings out milking the cows or collecting eggs, anything like that, out in the hen house that in the barn, some place where I feel at comfort and am in a place where I can be alone with God, though again, not necessarily physically alone with God. It can be a cathedral. It can even be a busy street. But it's more acknowledging God, acknowledging that I'm coming before God. The place doesn't matter as long as we can withdraw from the restless world and lift our hearts to God. In Matthew 6:6, Matthew 6:6, Jesus told us the place to go. As a part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, He said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Jesus was talking about finding a quiet place, a place where we could be alone with God, and more a quiet place in our mind where we could come before God in prayer. So Jesus recommended a closet, which is a quiet place. Jesus often sought solitude, as we find in Scripture, mountain solitudes, a garden, as with the Garden of Gethsemane, the wilderness, where he had spent 40 days in the wilderness. Now we know that as Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness, he was assailed by Satan three times. Satan trying to tempt Christ, trying to hold him from his appointment to the cross to do the work that had to be done. Of course, Satan recognized that once Christ made it to the cross, the war was won. And so Satan tried to block Christ from those things as well as he tries to block us. The second realm. So the first thing is finding solitude, a quiet place, getting our minds wrapped around God where we can get close to God. But the second realm is the heavenly place. In Ephesians 1:3, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So the second realm is the heavenly place, or the heavenlies. And the heavenlies is defined really as the sphere of the believer's spiritual experience as identified with Christ in nature. So this deals with that spiritual realm. This is the area where our blessings exist, but this is also where Satan and his minions, his evil spirits, swarm to block our access to the throne of God. So, initially when I said that the Webster's Dictionary definition of assail meant to physically or violently attack, we're not talking physical attack here, but Satan and his minions, they assail us or attack us in that same spiritual realm. As we find that quiet place to approach God in prayer, it's in that second realm, the realm of the heavenlies, where Satan really comes after us and tries to block that access. And this is where we need, as we look in the first portion of Ephesians 6, speaking of the armor of God, this is where we need the whole armor of God. This is where prayer is a battle in this second realm. In Ephesians 6:11, Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And as we approach Him in prayer, you know, we talk about prayer warriors. Miss Cleo's not here this evening, but we know that with our prayer list that we have here, and we have a number of people in the church, Nellie, a number of the ladies, and others who daily and several times daily will go to the Lord in prayer with this prayer list that we have, and we consider them to be prayer warriors. But we are all, as we approach God in prayer, we are all prayer warriors when we reach to this point where Satan is trying to block that access that we have to the throne. And we have to be willing to rely upon the Spirit of God in order to carry us through that point. As, you know, in prayer we battle wandering thoughts. You know, I may start praying for my Aunt Susie. And as I begin to pray for Aunt Susie, I love cats. What comes to my mind is Aunt Susie's cat. And as I think of Aunt Susie's cat, it reminds me that a coworker I work with, Jim, has noticed that there's a mouse in his office. And then as soon as I think about that mouse in his office, I'm going to stop by the hardware store and get a mouse trap. And then that reminds me that right next to that hardware store is the Photoshop where I had dropped some film off a couple of days ago and I need to pick it up. You know, does your thought process go like this when you sit down to pray? I've got at home, and I sit at my desk at home in the mornings. It's where I prepare Sunday school lessons. It's where my Bibles are and my concordance and all of these types of things. It's also where my computer is. It's also where I keep all of my bills that need to be paid and the receipts for the money that I've spent. And I've found that it's not a good place for me to do my morning devotions. It's a good place for me to put my lessons and stuff together and study God's Word in that respect. But it's not a good place for me to pray because I am distracted by all of those things. And so I've stopped using that place to do my morning prayers. I've now... Gosh, I've been doing this for a while, you know. I just only figured this out in the past 6 months or so. Now my morning prayers are spent on my knees downstairs with a couch and my head buried in my hands, where I can't see any of the other things around me, and I'm not distracted by those things because Satan distracts me enough as it is without me having those physical distractions. Usually if I sit down to say those prayers where my computer is, the next thing I'm sitting here, oh, I need to check my emails while I'm sitting here. And so now my mind is focused on those things. All of these things are Satan's attempt to stop me from approaching the throne of God in prayer. He is threatened by those things. He is fearful of those things. So, you know, I recognize Satan's part, but often I don't recognize Satan's part quickly enough. How often standing here in church, and I'm not going to stand here and relate to you some of the things that come through my mind as I stand in church, whether I'm singing hymns with the words that are up on the screen up here or we're standing there in prayer, but Satan causes my flesh to go into some very crude, very rude things where I am being judgmental of people, where I am thinking things of ill will towards my fellow brothers and sisters, all of these things to distract me. You know, several minutes into this, I realized that I haven't been praying. The enemy's been very busy. The same thing goes with this. As I said, so often Satan being active in our lives and Satan utilizing us to do things to destroy aspects of ministry, to destroy our relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters. Too often, too late, do we recognize that it is Satan that is doing those things in my life and I'm being used of Satan because of those things. Usually the damage is done before I realize those things. And so, you know, the enemy has been busy and he's at work. So we also battle wicked thoughts when we pray, you know. These can come with startling suddenness. just seemingly out of nowhere, bang, I'm hit with something. You know, whether it's a phrase from a book that I had read that I never had any business reading in the first place, a scene from a movie that I never had any business watching in the first place. You know, it's difficult nowadays to purchase a movie or watch a movie on TV that's even rated PG-13 that doesn't have something in it that you know, to be honest with you, that I would just as soon not see anymore. And it's embarrassing to watch some of these things with watching a movie with Timothy and Phoebe. Excuse me a minute here. With Timothy and Phoebe the other night, and you just can't watch a movie without some sort of crude language that comes out in it. So, and often, you know, a voice from the past saying foul words. All of these things come at me. And again, the enemy is busy. The enemy is at work in regards to distracting me with my prayers. So, what can we do to win the battle? We can try praying aloud. I've tried this often, and from time to time this helps me. Because what it does is it helps me to, if my mind is having to concentrate on what my mouth is saying, then sometimes it can block those thoughts. But there is, you know, we can try using more of God's Word in prayer, more of Scripture, more of those types of things. But again, it's not the eloquence of the things that we say or the use of us quoting Scripture that Satan fears. What Satan fears, what truly causes him to tremble, is the fact that, again, a needy child of God is seeking and approaching the throne of God in earnest prayer for whatever it is that our needs may be. You know, Paul uses the word supplication here, and I think sometimes, you know, supplication is us coming to God with a specific need for ourselves and asking for something, and of course we should do this according to God's will, but with a specific need for myself. And I'm one person that's guilty of this. You know, we shouldn't be so pious that we not pray for ourselves, for our own needs too. Often I will, and I have said, as I pray in the mornings and in the evenings, I try to place the needs, first of all, of my pastor, the ministry at Freeway Baptist Church, those serving in ministry at Freeway Baptist Church, all of those things ahead of any of my needs. But we also need to recognize that we need to come to God as well and praying for our needs, recognizing our weaknesses and asking God for those things which are not so much beneficial to me, but beneficial to Him in working through me in service to God. But let's not be so pious that we don't come before God with supplications for ourselves as well. So we can recognize the source of these distractions and rout the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. As in Ephesians 6, talking about utilizing and putting on the whole armor of God, in coming to that third realm, the first realm was that we spoke of was a quiet place. The next place being a heavenly place. But lastly, that third realm, when we get into the zone or the sweet spot, if you will, is the holy place. For me, when I approach God, and this is when I came to recognize that this is precisely how this takes place for me in prayer. I do seek a place where there is no physical distraction, no outside distraction. Though there are oftentimes in any busy place, when I recognize that Satan is utilizing me in a particular aspect of my day, I can say something as simple, and it works. It actually works here in church too. When I said I was in that place where as we were singing hymns or we were standing up in prayer and and Satan's attacking me with these thoughts in my mind, I have found out, and I usually say this out loud, I've learned recently that I've got to be careful. I'm getting kind of hard of hearing. And more and more often in church, my wife's been elbowing me because I think that I'm making comments that really can't be heard by anybody but other than my wife sitting next to me. And she goes, just recently, I can't remember what it was, but she says, oh, Chris leaned over. He says, why don't you just broadcast it to the whole church? I said, well, did I say it that loud? He goes, yeah. So I've got to be cautious with those things. But one of the things that I will do when I'm being attacked by Satan in church is say, verbally say, Satan, be gone from me. It is amazing to me how that works, because almost instantaneously, those whatever it is, those lewd, crude, judgmental thoughts that I might be having about my brothers or sisters, they're gone when I say this out loud. So, by the way, for those of you that sit close to me when I'm in church, if you I don't generally like to speak out loud and be disruptive. Chances are, if I'm saying something, it really wasn't meant for you to hear, so you might want to go, na, 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 you know, because it wasn't really meant for you to be to hear. But that third realm is really the holy place. It's where we get in that sweet spot. When I find that quiet place for me to pray without those distractions, and as I get into that prayer, and I think that most of you can relate to this, that's when I start being attacked by all of these things that Satan brings to my mind and trying to distract me from approaching that throne of God. But do you finally, we need to be relentless in this, we don't just want to throw our hands in the air and say, great, you know, the line's busy, I can't get through to you, God, I'm going to have to try some other time. That's what Satan wants for us to do. Have you found, maybe none of you can relate to this, but it happens with me often that if I stay with it, then all of a sudden I find myself in that nice, quiet place where I feel like I have that good, conscious contact with God. Satan has given up because I have relied upon the Holy Spirit to keep me in that spot and finally take me to that holy place. And guess what? Satan's not allowed there. And so when I am taken into that place, you know when it happens. Can anybody relate to this? Does this happen to you? Yeah, absolutely. You know when you hit it. All of these things through these realms, you hit each one of these things, and when you finally hit that holy place or that sweet spot, it's amazing. You know, it truly is amazing. I fall asleep at night praying. I find at night that I'm not too distracted by the things of Satan, not nearly as much as I am as when I try to start my day off. Not when I try to start my day off, because I start my day off with prayer. But when I start my day off with prayer is when I'm assailed or attacked the most. But at nighttime, as I lay in bed and begin to pray, thank God for the blessings of my day. Thank God for the things that I was able to accomplish, and of course, giving Him the glory, thanking Him for getting me through. Some days, you know, I had a couple of days ago, it was just one foot in front of another. I laid in bed that night and said, God, you know, I didn't think I was going to live through this day. Thanks for that. I usually fall asleep praying at night. That's a great thing. You know, I believe that's, and I fall asleep quickly doing that. So I'm starting my day by acknowledging God as soon as I have a conscious thought of just, good morning, Lord. And I'm ending my day with that as well. But when I hit that, when I hit that sweet spot, you know, and as the hymn says, you know, the hymn says, there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. You see, a place where sin cannot molest. Once I've gotten into that holy place, Satan can't touch me there. Now I am truly connected with God where I am not distracted. God hears me anyway, even when Satan is involved in those things and trying to distract me. God's not distracted by those things. But once I've hit that place, as the hymn says, a place where sin cannot molest, because my thought process is Satan tries to drag me away from the throne of God, the things that I'm thinking, they are covetousness. They are nasty, terrible, evil thoughts. They are sin. But once I hit that place, I'm truly amazed by those things. Once we get there, we engage what Paul calls verse 18, chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer. So there we engage what Paul calls all prayer, and that is prayer in all aspects, whether it is acknowledgement to God of the things of not confession of sin, but repentance of sin. I acknowledge my sins to God when I recognize what they are. He knows what they are. It's not like I'm telling, oh, God, you might not have known about this, but guess what I did today. But it's more an acknowledgement that I recognize what I have done that can be offensive to God. So, it's approaching God in that way. I approach God, as Paul says, in all prayer, in adoration. I approach God to petition Him for prayers, thanksgiving to God for the things that I have in my life, and praising God for all of the things that He does for me in my life. All prayer and supplication, as Paul says here, all of this must be in the Spirit. Again, in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, capital S, that being the Spirit of God. So we must be in the Spirit, as Paul says in this verse. Otherwise, we'll not really be praying. We'll be merely saying prayers. And there are differences. There is a difference with that. There's a difference between just mouthing words, whether I'm using lofty, eloquent speech that might come from words of Scripture or whatever it may be. But once I'm praying in the Spirit, then I am truly praying rather than just saying words. God wants me to pray in the Spirit and truly have my spirit aligned with His Spirit as I approach Him in my needs, in the supplications that I bring before Him, in praising Him and giving Him thanks for these things. You see, as I studied this, it brought a new meaning to me, what it meant to be a prayer warrior. Whereas before I thought of that, when I thought of prayer warriors, I would think of someone again, like Miss Cleo, people who are just constantly in prayer for all of the things that we might have in need for our church. Those people who are just constantly fighting that battle. But I recognized as I studied this and prepared for this lesson that I am a prayer warrior each time I approach God in prayer and I fight through that second realm and finally reach that holy place or that sweet spot. Praying the Spirit doesn't mean going into a trance or speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit does not overpower our mental faculties. Can He? Yes, He can. Does He? No, He does not. He directs, but He doesn't dominate. And He never acts like a despot or a tyrant. If I go to, turn to, if you've got your Bibles there, and I'll wait on you a second, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 31 through 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 31 and 32. Because there's Scripture that supports this, what I'm saying here in regards to the Holy Spirit not overpowering our mental faculties and how He directs rather than dominates. So in 1 Corinthians 14, beginning with verse 31, it says, "For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted." And in verse 32 it says, "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." So when we're talking about prophesying here, talking about teaching, but what this says is those people that are teaching in this aspect, it says, and the spirits, lowercase s, meaning the spirit of these men, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, that portion of them, it is them aligning their spirits with the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit doesn't, though He can, take us over completely and use us as a mouthpiece, as God would want us to do. Just as God gives us our free will to make the poor choices that we make from time to time, just as God gives us our free will to choose Him, because that's what He wants for us to do, is to choose Him rather than to force Himself upon us, He also wants for us to be choosing the prayers and the things that we need to come to Him for. So, the direction of the Holy Spirit is the ultimate solution to our wandering, wicked, worldly thoughts. Satan uses all of these things against us, and they are powerful tools. You know, the Spirit of God in our spirit fighting this spiritual warfare, it's Satan in our flesh against the Spirit of God in our spirits. You know, the war was won on the cross, but there's many battles to be fought. You know, in generally speaking, in man's wars in the world, he who wins the most battles wins the war. But this war has already been won. This war was won on the cross. But we still have those battles to fight. And we fight those battles each day in prayer, along with in many other ways. So the direction of the Holy Spirit's the ultimate solution to the wandering, wicked, worldly thoughts that we have. He brings to our minds passages of Scripture that we use from time to time in prayer that are appropriate to the moment. In Romans, I'm going to turn to this. You don't have to. He brings us to gentle assurance that our prayers are heard. In Romans 6, verse 26. Yeah, in Romans 6, well, I'm not going to have it. Yes, there we go. Yeah, it's Romans 8 is what it is. Romans 8:26, I am sorry, says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." So even when we get into that holy place, that sweet spot, and we can't put together eloquent words because God is not impressed, Satan is not fearful of us putting together eloquent words as we approach God, and God is not impressed with those things, when we don't know what we ought to pray for, or when there are so many things upon our minds that need to be prayed for. You know, we have our prayer service here on Wednesday night, and when I go home tonight, there will be many things fresh on my mind that were brought forward in the service tonight that I'll pray for. But tomorrow, many of those things I'll forget. I try very hard to remember those in our congregation who are very sick. But the thing is, the Holy Spirit knows what's on my heart and what needs to be prayed for. So even when I forget, He knows. And this indicates that He brings those prayers before God. He knows what it is that I need. I can't remember all of them. But one thing that God does know, if He knows my heart, and He does, He knows that I have a heart for my brothers and sisters and those that are in need of God's guidance, God's care, God's love. And He handles those things for me when I can't remember them. So we don't need to be disappointed or upset with ourselves when we forget someone in prayer, because the Holy Spirit will bring those things before God for us. You know, so meeting up with the Holy Spirit, the ranks of the enemy melt away. That happens in that heavenly realm as we fight that battle there before we enter the holy place. And they flee in terror. Satan and his minions, his troops, are desperately afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. Desperately afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not me that he fears. So, given the hidden place, finding a place, whether it be in our minds or physically, a place where we can have a God consciousness, finding ourselves then in that next realm, in that heavenly place, which is where I find myself doing battle. I'm not doing the battle. I have to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God and the sword of the Spirit to fight that battle for me. And once I can get into that place, I find myself where all of a sudden there is great clarity. And I can just feel that connection once Satan is out of the way. And when that happens, there's peace in my prayers and that connection that I have with God. There's clarity in my prayers. This jumbled mess that was in my mind as I fought with Satan through that heavenly realm area is gone away. And I'm in the zone. I'm in the holy zone. As I studied this really helped me to understand that. And I never really recognized that's what was taking place. You know, those three stages. But they actually take place with me every day. Now, I've got to admit, there are some days where I don't have the patience to continue in that area where you know, and this would be Satan too. It's like, man, you know, I gotta have that cup of coffee, or I gotta hurry up and eat my breakfast. My stomach is growling, and sometimes in those areas, Satan gets the better of me. But if I stick with it, rely on God, I will ultimately find myself in that place where there is that peace, as the hymn says, where I am protected from that sin. And I now have that direct connection with God. He's always there. It's me that has the difficulty, my flesh that has the difficulty with those things. So, it's a privilege to me to be able to stand in the pastor's pulpit and share a message that God has put on my heart. And I want you all to know that I love you very much.